All right, picking up, John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me. This is what Jesus is saying now, that everyone who sees the Son, now that word sees there is more than just there's more than someone just put their eyes on him. It is to look with the heart. That's the idea here, is to look intently, to investigate, so this is more than just a casual looking upon the Lord. What he is saying is, he who sees the Son, who looks at him, who thinks on him and really investigates this with the heart and the mind, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, it is the will of God that you get saved. Let me just say that. It is the will of God that you get saved. That's what he wills, that all would be saved, that all would come to saving faith. And if you get saved, here's the promise that we find in this verse, that he will raise you up at the last day. This is the idea of eternal security. He's not going to lose a single one. If you're saved, you're saved eternally. This is the idea of eternal security. He said, I will. I might. He didn't say I might. He didn't say it's possible. He didn't say that most of you. He says, I will raise him up. If you come to him in faith, he's going to save you, and then he's going to raise you up the last day. That is a promise. Okay? And that is this promise of eternal security. We are eternally secure in Christ. We got to understand that. It isn't, but here's the thing, it isn't because of me. If I could lose my salvation, folks, I would have already lost my salvation. I'm always amazed with these folks who say you can lose salvation. You know, I've known a lot of people who believe that. I haven't met a single one of them yet who has lost their salvation. So sin must be greater than any of the sin they've committed that's required to lose salvation. Amen? If you ever talk to them, I've not met a one who's ever lost their salvation. Said, well, you know what, I had to get saved again because I'd lost my salvation. They ain't a single one of them lost it. But the fact is, you can't do anything to lose it because, folks, you didn't do anything to gain it. If you worked to gain it, then you could work to lose it. But you didn't work to gain it. You didn't do anything to be saved. All you did was believe. You responded to what God has already, D-O-N-E, done for you. He's done it all. And so we are eternally secure in Christ. And it is because of him. He holds on. He has us. He is faithful, and he will raise us up at the last day. Amen? Amen. That's a great verse right there. That gives us, look, I've seen some of these that believe that way, and they struggle with ever getting past and growing because they're wondering, am I really saved? Am I really a Christian? Look, you got to nail that down. If you've put your faith in Christ, you are saved. You're born again. Now move forward. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And don't live in that fear constantly. You are secure in Christ. Verse 41, the Jews then complained about him. I wasn't unusual for the. I think the King James probably says they murmured. The Jews murmured a lot. They murmured. If you go back in the Old Testament, they were murmuring constantly. It was always just behind talking, complaining, griping about something. They were just never happy. So the Jews here, they then complained about him, about Jesus. Now, why did they complain? Because he said, "I am the bread." Here's what they didn't like. Which comes down from heaven. Now, if you read this passage here in John 6, he's going to say this five times. Jesus says that. Five times he says, which came down from heaven or comes down from heaven. And what he's saying, well, let's look at verse 42. So they're complaining because that's what he said. Verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Who is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? They understood exactly what Jesus was saying. Now, when people want to act like, well, Jesus never claimed to be virgin born, I'm going to address that in a second, but he was claiming that. He was claiming to have come down from heaven. He's claiming that he doesn't have an earthly father. They understood exactly what he was claiming. He's claiming to be God. So they are without excuse. He was so clear with them, and it's very clear here. They understood exactly what he was saying. They thought, here's what they thought. They thought they knew Jesus. They thought they knew who he was. Now, isn't he the son of Joseph? See, that's where they make the mistake. They say he's the son of a man here on earth. He's the son of Joseph and of Mary. Mary's his mother, right? Joseph's his father. If they do a little research, if they just listen to what he's already said, he's saying, Joseph's not my father. They thought they knew him, but he taught that he was God, that he came down from heaven. And Jesus, right here, is teaching of the virgin birth. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I came down from heaven. I don't have an earthly father. I came down from heaven for the glory of heaven, from the glory of heaven to the woes of this earth. Now, this here is the Christmas story. This is the Christmas story, not the ho-ho-hos and lights and trees. How many of you are decorated already? Just a few, huh? Y'all don't live in my world. My wife loves Christmas. She loves the lights and stuff. And so she's already decorated. Let me say it that way. But that's fine. It's fun. We're going to put some lights up this week. We'll have some decorations up for Christmas and stuff. I love the lights too. My son loves the lights. He bought all into that. He's got lights on his house now. He sent us pictures last night. So he likes the Christmas lights. Gina, you brainwashed him well. You got him. He picked that up from you. But folks, the lights and the trees and the gifts and the feast and the parties and all that, that's not Christmas. That's not Christmas. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Christmas story. That's what Christmas is about. See, they thought they knew Jesus' mother and father, but Jesus is not the son of Joseph. He came down from heaven. He is the eternal Word of God. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, when they say there in verse 42, here's what they say. And they said, is not this Jesus? Here's an interesting thing about that word this. This Jesus. That word there in the Greek, it conveys contempt from the Jews towards Jesus. They have contempt for him because of what he is saying and who he's claiming to be. They have heard truth. What have they decided? They've decided they will not believe. They will not believe that he is who he says he is. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, as I read this, you can almost, as I read this in color, right? You read it in color. You try to see it. You can almost see Jesus turning his back on them right now. You can almost see it and you can almost hear it. Here's the thing. They will not believe. They refuse to believe. They have seen. They have heard. They have been told who Jesus is. Yet they will not believe. And it's not because they couldn't believe. It's because they wouldn't believe. They should have. They could have. But they didn't. They've rejected him at this point. He has told them very clearly who he is, and they've rejected him. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws me. Now that word draws, what does that mean? It means this. It means literally or figuratively, it means to drag, to draw, to pull, to draw, to drag. Now what this is God sovereignly working on us, working in us, working around us, drawing and dragging and pushing and convicting us. And what this is there's a term, we've talked about this already, but it's divine election. It's divine election. It's those who will be saved. It's those who come to faith. That's what this is. It's God drawing them. And he says, unless the Father who sent me draws me, no one can come to me unless he draws me. So help me with that. Well, J. Vernon McGee says, you want me to explain it? J. Vernon McGee, you want to explain it? Here's what J. Vernon McGee says. You ask me to explain it. I can't explain it at all, friend. I just know that you have a free will and you can exercise it. God holds you responsible for it, and you know you are responsible. You know right now you can come or not come. It's up to you. So we understand this, that God draws, but we have to make a choice. So folks that do deny free will and deny that man has a choice in the matter, has a say in the matter, look, it's not that I save myself. Believing, understand, is not a works.
Right.
It's a response. And if you're going to tell me that believing is a works and therefore it can't be part of salvation, then you got to take it up with Scripture because it says if we believe, if we believe, if we believe. It's believing. So there, this understanding of election is the fact that those who will be saved, those who will come to faith, are the elect. And we've talked about that. You have to make a choice. But I want to read you something here. This is the problem that a lot of people have. This is Green. I'm going to draw a blank. My brain is short-circuiting. Oliver B. Green. He said, the divine truth declared in verse 44 is a startling truth, a humbling, disturbing truth, one which in every age has drawn hatred and opposition from mankind. Listen, now here's the key to this. Men think they can live as they please, do what they please, repent when they please, believe when they please, and be saved when they please. The average person thinks he can sow wild oats, and then when he is ready to settle down and be saved, he will go to church and get saved. He thinks that he can have salvation whenever he so desires, but this is man's idea, not God's, and is contradictory to the words of Jesus recorded here. My dear friend, if you are not saved now, do not count on being saved when you get ready or when you make up your mind to be saved. You will be saved when the Holy Spirit convicts and draws you. And the Holy Spirit never again convicts you. If you are never again drawn by the Spirit, you are just as sure to spend eternity in hell as the sun is sure to rise in the east. See, here's the truth of the Scripture. We have a choice. But when God convicts you, when you hear the Word of God and you are convicted and He is calling you, He is drawing your heart, you get to make a choice. You respond either by faith or rejection. That's your choice. But don't say, I'm not ready right now. I'll do that later. And there are folks that talk about irresistible grace, that God's grace, when he puts on, you can't resist it. That's not what Scripture teaches us. You have a choice in this. You have to respond. God is working. But do not think, my friend, that you can come to Him whenever you want, however you want. I said last week, talking about being on your deathbed, and so I had some question about that. I want to clarify that. Can a man get saved on his deathbed? Absolutely, he can get saved on his deathbed. But don't count on laying on your deathbed and going, I want to get saved, and count on getting saved. Unless the Spirit of God draws you, unless you are under conviction at that time, unless He's working in your heart, you can't just go, hey, God, I want to be saved right now. I'm coming to you in my way. You follow? That's what the Scripture says. Very clear here. Jesus further explained how the lost sinner can come to God. So if the Lord has to draw us, He's drawing us, then we respond. We have the responsibility of responding to what He is doing, the work He's doing. How do we get to that then if it's on Him to draw us? So let's look at this. So He explains this. It's through the truth of the Word of God. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the apostles, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. The Father draws the sinner by His Word. It's through the Word of God that God the Father draws us, and He draws us to Christ through His Word. It is through the teaching of the Word that God draws people to the Savior. If you look at John 5:24 and its emphasis on hearing the Word, John 5:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my Word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death into life. Ephesians 1:13, in Him you also trusted. When? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The sinner hears, learns, and comes as the Father draws him or her. Is that a mystery? Yes. Is it a blessed reality? Yes. Salvation, folks, is entirely of the Lord. It is His work. He does the saving. We are saved by what? By grace. We are saved by grace through faith. So there's that. You got two parts of this. There's the responding in faith, but it is the verse does not say we are saved by faith. You see the difference? It's not that our faith is what saves us. That's the vehicle. When we respond to what God is offering through faith, He saves us by His grace. It is He and He alone that saves us. As it's been said, the only thing you bring to your salvation is your sin, your lostness, your hopelessness. You have nothing to bring. You have nothing to offer. You are not saved by faith. You are saved by grace through faith. The natural man has neither knowledge, desire, faith, nor the inclination toward God until he hears the gospel and the word of God penetrates his heart. No one will ever come to God unless they are exposed to the word of God. It is the nature of man to ignore God and, like Adam, attempt to hide from Him and make excuses for his lack of faith. Hear what Scripture says about the unregenerate human heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 22 through 23 says this, For from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Boy, we're really good folks, aren't we? People go, well, I'm really a good person. Well, you're not. We're not. We're vile. We're disgusting. We're sinful. The very best we have to offer is nothing but filthy rags to the Lord. We're just sinful and we're hopeless in that. The truth is that man cannot come to God because he has not a will to come to God. He doesn't want to come to God. As we read in Genesis 37, verse 4, that the brothers of Joseph, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. They could not speak peaceably unto him because they would not speak peaceably to him. They could have. They didn't want to. They hated him. They hated him without reason, and they had no will to say anything peaceable to him or about him. It was a choice they made to hate their brother. And therefore, everything they spoke to him, they did not speak peaceably to him. They spoke hatefully to him. And that's the way man is towards God. John chapter 1, verse 10. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, Jew or Gentile, to them he gave the right to become children of God and to those who believe in his name. How do you come to faith? You believe in Jesus. Verse 13, who were born, look, not of blood. So it's not about your heredity. It's not about your family bloodline. It's not about who your daddy is or your granddaddy is. So you're not born of blood. You're not born nor of the will of the flesh. So no amount of wishful thinking makes me a child of God. I can say, well, I think I'm a Christian, or I am a Christian. I can say I'm a Christian. I can think whatever I want to think, but that doesn't make me a Christian. So it's not by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You know, man's plans, man's ideas, man's works, his ways, religion. It's not by the will of man that we get to God, but of God. We're born of God. It is He who gives life. God gives the power. God gives life. God does the borning when we do the believing and receiving. But how do we do the receiving? How do we get to that place? How do we come to the place where we desire to receive Christ? Well, we find the answer in Romans chapter 10. Verses 13 through 17 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a promise right there. Whoever does what? Calls on the name of the Lord. It's by faith. That's what this is. He's talking about calling on the name of the Lord there by faith. Shall be saved. There's a promise there. Who then How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So how can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So you see the importance of hearing the word of God, hearing the truth of God, hearing the gospel message. This is why it's important. How can they believe in someone they've never heard of? So they have to hear. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now I want you to understand the word preacher there, it means to herald. It doesn't mean to pastor church. It's not talking about me in particular. It's not talking about just a pastor or an ordained preacher or even a missionary. It really is speaking of every born-again believer should be heralding the truth of the gospel. And as we go out and preach the gospel, when you talk about preaching, it's just heralding the truth. It's just speaking that truth. You don't have to stand in the pulpit and preach. Just go speak the truth. Then you're heralding. You're preaching. How then shall they preach? How then shall they herald unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the word of God. Well, we put this together. We understand that no one can come to the Father unless... come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws. How does He draw? He draws through the Word of God. As the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit of God works. We're going to see that. So let's look at this passage then. Let's look at it in reverse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A preacher, a herald, is called of God, sent by God to preach the gospel. You're saved. You're born again. You're being equipped. You know the gospel. Go share the gospel. Go herald the gospel. Go tell those around us. And we go and we proclaim it. So that person preaches the Word of God, the gospel, and the unbeliever hears the Word of God, and the Word of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit of God, drawing through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God then draws your heart, convicts you of your sin, and brings faith to his heart. That person then, as they hear the Word, and they're drawn, and they're convicted, they exercise that faith and call on the name of the Lord, and that person is saved by God's grace. Therefore, no man can come to Jesus until he is drawn through hearing the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. The two work together in salvation. It is through the Word of God. Nobody's getting saved because you are a good neighbor. And they see you, they just see you and go, boy, that person's this the nicest person. I know they're a Christian. You know what? I'm a Christian too because I like that person. There's some evangelism styles, lifestyle evangelism, is that you just live out your faith in a way that everybody sees it. Now, should you lifestyle evangelize? Absolutely. Don't live out your life in a way that they see you and go, that guy's a Christian? I never would have guessed that. Live it out so that they see your faith. And you know, what is it? It's been said, you should preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I think that's almost a foolish statement. You should preach the gospel, and you should use words. You can lifestyle, live it, model it, all that, be nice to somebody, stop on the side of the road, change a tire, all that, but preach the gospel. They don't get saved because you changed their tire. They get saved because they hear the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God convicts their heart, draws them, and they respond to what He's doing. That's right. That's what happens. So no man comes unto Jesus unless he hears the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God is drawing him. So consider what Jesus later tells his disciples in John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. He's going to tell them this later. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God coming to them. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit of God brings conviction. The Holy Spirit of God... Now listen, the Holy Spirit is a He. I've heard people refer to the Holy Spirit as it. That's be careful, because the Holy Spirit of God is not an it. The Holy Spirit of God is a He. He's the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, and He is a person. And so the Holy Spirit of God, He is at work in our hearts as you hear the Word of God. And as believers, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us and even now convicts us and draws us and pushes us and says, no, no, don't do that. Hey, hey, that's wrong. You need to change that. Hey, you see what you just read? That's you. You need to get that right with me right now. We need to get that right. So the Holy Spirit of God is doing the work. So the Holy Spirit of God works through the Word of God to convict the heart of man. He draws him to himself, and man must respond. Now, you tell me, well, you know, somebody can just come whenever they want. I've seen people who have rejected. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing, but I went to the hospital one time in Indiana. I've shared this story before, but my pastor, I'm sick. I mean, it turns out I had tonsillitis. I had tonsillitis, and I was like feeling rotten on that Wednesday night. I mean, I'm really, really bad. My pastor says, I need you to go to the hospital. There's a neighbor of so-and-so. They're in the hospital. They think he's dying. He's got cancer, and they want you to go and talk to him. So I'm like, preacher, I'm sick as a dog. I might not need to go. He said, the guy's dying anyway. Go. So I'm like, okay. I'm glad you're compassionate. So I go up, and I share the gospel with this man. And as I'm walking through the gospel, you know, who is Jesus? Oh, he's God. I said, do you believe he's God's son? I mean, we walk right through the gospel. Everything, he's yes, yes, yes. And I mean, in my heart, you know how this conversation goes, right? You think, this guy's going to pray to receive Christ. He's going to confess his sin right here. He's going to call on the name of the Lord right here. And I get, and I say, man, is there anything, you know, would you want to trust Christ tonight for your salvation? He goes, no, 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 I'm not rushing into anything. What? You're not rushing anything. Now, this is right after Jesse. Jesse had just turned 7 years old, and Jesse had gotten saved. And I said, man, let me tell you something. I said, my son just realized the other day, he realized, and to put it in these words, his house was on fire. He wasn't waiting until tomorrow to call the fire department. He wasn't waiting until tomorrow to try to put out the fire. He realized, I'm lost. He responded to what God had done for him. He prayed to receive Christ. My 7-year-old son understood that. I said, you've confessed tonight. You understand. You believe these things. You believe this. You believe this. You believe this. But you're not ready to place your faith and trust in Christ. He goes, nope, I'm not rushing into anything. I said, rush into anything? You got to get out of the burning house. He goes, no, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. I need to talk to my wife. Well, his wife was very overbearing. She was atheistic. And so when I came back, I left heartbroken. Now, I don't know that the Holy Spirit of God was working on him. He did one of two things right there. Either there, he was not under any conviction at all. He can't get saved if the Holy Spirit's not drawing him. You see this? He can't just get saved if he, by his own will. But I believe that hearing the Word of God, I believe the Holy Spirit of God was working in that. So then he either has to respond by faith or reject. He rejected. A few months later, I get another call. They asked me to go visit this man. I walk to the door, and he goes, me and God are fine. That's what he did. He wouldn't let me in the room. Me and God are fine. He died shortly after that. I have no reason to believe he ever placed his faith in Christ. You can't just come when you want to, how you want to. So how does that work? If you have no desire, if man has no desire, how does that work? Well, I want to illustrate this a little bit for you. Now, how many of you right now would say, yeah, I'm not really hungry. I had breakfast or whatever. How many are not really hungry right now? Most of you? Okay, is there anybody in here that is hungry right now? Oh, there's a few of you. Y'all are not going to like me here in a minute. Okay, so let's pretend you're not hungry at all. Right? You're satisfied. You didn't come in here at all hungry. All right. But have you ever walked into a room when someone was baking cookies? What happens? We got any pictures? Anselm, we got any pictures back there? You ever walked in like somebody's baking cookies? Gina's cooking. She was cooking some stuff last night, and she made some peanut butter cookies. So you can tell I'm not on my carnivore diet right now. I looked carnivorous, but there was no meat involved. I was having some peanut butter cookies last night. But when you walk in, you smell that, right? Can you just smell those cookies? Man, what does that do? You're not even hungry. You smell a cookie cooking. What does it do? You want to eat a cookie, don't you? What about, have you ever been, this is the real one. How about bread? Homemade bread. There's not much that is better than homemade bread. When I was a kid, I lived in a place, doesn't that look good? And you see the smoke coming. You can't see it there, but I can see it in my mind's eye. There's smoke coming off, and there's a big old thing of butter over there to the right, and I'm going to slice that while it's still warm, and I'm going to slab a whole bunch of butter on there. Isn't that, what do you think? When I was a kid, my dad had some friends in a little town. We lived in Isla. We were outside Isla, but there was a little community called Pocataligo. We called it Poca. We went over to Poca. And this family, it was a big family, and they had an older house. And I remember going in their house, and I smelled that bread. And that mom brought that bread out, and she began to slice it up. She let us have some of that homemade, right out of the oven bread. I still remember that. Man, anybody getting a little hungry? Anybody like some homemade bread right now, smothered in some butter? Or have you ever been out walking? You ever been out walking and the wind blows and you go, ooh, somebody's grilling. Now I'm speaking your language. Grilling, somebody's grilling. Put that up there. Nick, there we go. You start grilling. You smell that. Oh, man, that comes across the breeze and it's just so good. Next picture. Oh, just sizzling, right? You smell that meat cooking on the grill. Ain't much better smell than that right there, right? I mean, So what happens? What happens right there? You went from, now let me ask you honestly, anybody like, I wasn't hungry a while ago, but right now I'm like, man, why'd you do that? Because I'm thinking about food. Anybody else? Any hands? You see, so it stirs your appetite. What happens is that smell or the talk of that, man, I love that grilled steak right off the grill. Man, let that sit for a minute. Slice that up. Oh, man. That's so all of a sudden your appetite, you weren't hungry. You weren't even thinking about food. You smelled it or you saw it or you start to talk about it. And what happens? Your appetite gets kind of kicked up. In the same way, the sinner, it may not be in the least bit hungry for the things of God when he attends a service. Now, let me back up because I say when he attends a service. The fact is, I would contend that if someone is attending a service, it's because the Lord has already been working on that person. He's already working in their life. They may not even realize it. They may not even realize, like, you know, God's working. But I'm going to use some examples here for a second. I'm going to talk about Brian, and Brian's fine with that. Brian Day over there. You know, Brian really had not been in church since you were a little bit of kid, you told me, like 5 years old. Probably not even thinking about that, but he was listening to Charlie Kirk. More for politics, I think, early on, right, Brian? More for politics. So he's listening to Charlie Kirk politically, driven by that. But as he heard Charlie Kirk sharing the Bible, sharing the Word of God, sharing the truth of the Scriptures, God begins to work in him, drawing him through the Word of God. Do you see how that works? And then Brian, even before the Charlie Kirk was murdered, he's like, you know what, we got to get back in church. I think he and Alex were already talking about, we need to get back in church. We need to find a church. And when that happened, he goes, I definitely have to get into church. And so he comes to church, and a couple of weeks here, he's hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's working on him. We go back to my office, and he says, man, I need to get saved. And right there in my office, Brian trusts Christ. His dad, just a couple of weeks ago, right there back there in our class, says, I need to get saved. His dad, same thing. God's already working to draw him here. You with me? God's already working. That's the sovereignty of God. You know, he's spinning a million plates. He's in your life alone. At any given time, he's working to bring you to faith. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to respond to it? So he's already drawing him. But then the preacher puts the living bread, the Word of God, before him. And through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit creates an appetite for the things of God in the unbelieving heart. The sinner is convicted of his sinfulness and convinced that the gospel is good. He's convicted of his need for God and for forgiveness and for salvation. He is therefore drawn to the table of living bread. He eats and lives forever. So don't think that this teaching here takes away man's responsibility to God for his soul. What I'm teaching is not that, you know, God does the drawing and you don't have any say in it. As he draws, you have a say. You have to respond. And if you want to come to Christ, you can come to Christ. This passage here does not teach a limited atonement. It does not teach that only those who would get saved or will get saved, that Jesus only died for them. That's not what this teaches. This does not teach an irresistible grace, that when God pours out his grace, you can't say no. The scriptures are clear. You have to believe. You have to come by faith. You have a choice in this. And it's not that you save yourself. Understand that. It's nothing that you do. It is your response to what he has already done. It's your response to him drawing your heart, bringing conviction. Now, do you respond to that? If a man is lost, it will be because he chose not to accept salvation, not because God willed him to be lost. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. And he's talking of himself. Jesus says, no one has seen the Father. Now, think about this for a second. What he's saying here, and we're almost done. Pastor Aaron, if you want to come. What he says here is that every instance where God appeared in the Old Testament, and he appeared often in the Old Testament, every time he did, it was Jesus who appeared. It wasn't God. No man has seen God. Only the Son has seen God. No one has seen the Father except Jesus, and he's the one. Verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. He who believes in me has everlasting life. You can't say any clearer than that. Amen?
Amen.
This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've never placed your faith and your trust in Christ, you can do that today. I believe I'm fully convinced that when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit of God is at work. When the Word is taught, the Holy Spirit of God is at work. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you're sitting there, you would know. You would know. You're thinking right now, you know what? I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now where I'd spend eternity. I'm not confident of that. I'm not sure. You know where you're at. If your heart's pounding a little bit, going, you know what, I'm a sinner. I realize I'm a sinner, and I'm realizing I can't save myself. Could I possibly get saved? You know, if your heart's pounding like that, the Holy Spirit of God may be drawing you. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to respond this morning with faith? Trust Christ for what he's done for you? Trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Or are you going to reject that? Are you going to ignore that? Are you going to push that aside? Folks, there's no promise that you'll ever be drawn again. There's no promise. If you're feeling that conviction, you're feeling that draw, I invite you to step out. If you want to come to Jesus by faith, you can come to Jesus by faith. Believer, this morning, maybe the commitment for us is this. There are people all around me, in the workplace, in our community, in my family. We're going to have family around us this week. Most of us, many of us will. And maybe you've got family that are lost. We have a responsibility to tell them. You can't save anybody. It's not your job. But it is our job to tell them. And so maybe this morning, you just need to make a commitment to the Lord that, Lord, I want you to show me every opportunity that's before me for somebody that needs Christ, and give me the opportunity, and give me the boldness, and give me that burden to share the gospel with a lost and dying world, to share with them the greatest gift that's ever been given, to share with them what you've shared with me, what you've given to me, that gift of eternal life. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that it is clear and simple, and we don't have to get in the weeds and confiscate and make things harder and try to explain the simple away with very deep, complicated scriptures. You have very clearly stated the truth of the gospel and the way to salvation. Help us, Lord, to see that truth. And this morning, I pray if there's even one that's in our midst this morning that does not know you as their Savior, that right now that the Holy Spirit of God would convict their heart, would draw them. But I pray that they'll respond to the work that you're doing in their heart, that they would not harden their heart against you. They would not ignore it, push it aside, think that I'll come another time. I pray they'll respond this morning. They come forth. They can respond right where they are, Lord, in faith. They can right there say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life. I believe He died on the cross for my sin. And I believe He rose again from the dead. And I place my faith and my trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross for me. I place my faith in Him. And I believe Him. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Change my life. Change my eternity. And help me to live my life for you. It's that simple. Nothing easy about it, but it's simple. So, Father, if there's even one this morning that needs salvation, if they need to speak with someone, give them the courage to step out right now. Come forward and talk to someone. Let us, again, maybe share the gospel with them. But Lord, I pray they'll respond this morning by faith. We as believers, Lord, we have a mandate to go out of here and share the gospel with all of those around us. Convict our hearts this morning, especially in this time of Thanksgiving, that as we are thankful and grateful for what you've done for us, may we not hoard up or store up what you've done for us, but may we go and share it with those around us. Lord, thank you for your truth of your word. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, just whatever it is that you desire to do in our lives now, may we respond to that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.